Welcome to the All Nations Church of Luxembourg podcast.
Morning and a warm welcome to this worship service. It's great that you are here this morning and that we can raise our voices, our unique instruments together this morning. We want to invite you to stand up as we start this worship service singing All Hail King Jesus. And I encourage you to open up in this song towards the truth of the gospel that we are singing. Victory. The King of Love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood had. Breath and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake and the veil was torn, but a sacrifice was made as the heavens rose.
Savior. Seated. And grace and peace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And welcome to worship at All Nations Church, where this morning we're getting a little bit of a foretaste of Easter, indeed as we do every Sunday. We continue our I Am series, in which today we look at the words Jesus speaks, I am the resurrection and the life, as we've just sung and as we will continue to hear. This is the good news. If you are new, we welcome you especially, or however you can define new. That can mean many things. Maybe you've been in Luxembourg for a while. Maybe this is your first day in Luxembourg. That actually happens sometimes. People come straight to church. In any case, we're glad that you're here. Would invite you, if you'd like, to stop at the table on your way out. You can sign up for the weekly update. You can give us your information if you like. You can learn more about small groups. You can talk to the host there. We would love for you to get connected with what's happening here at our church. So please stop there if you'd like. Also, I'm saying this more because I really mean it. Speak to me if you like. I'm approachable, I think. Paul as well. That's the best way just to make that face-to-face connection. This Friday is worship night, and I've been talking about that the last couple of weeks, but we wanted to have someone else make that invitation, and so we were like, who's kind of enthusiastic or very faithful to worship night? And Rousseau and Yanel were two of those people, so I'm going to invite Yanel up.
Good morning. We would like to invite you for an evening of worship, praise and worship as we come together to glorify the name of our God. For me personally, the purpose of praise and worship is always to create an intimate space between the Lord and me. It's allowing me to speak to Him directly from my heart in such a way that I'm drawn nearer to Him. And as a result, He is glorified and my relationship with Him just grows. When we worship through music, we speak, sing, declare, and proclaim who God is and His power, as well as who we are as His children. Praise and worship are ways to rejoice in the Lord, pray and thank God for what He is doing, will be doing, and has done for us. Worship can be singing along, listening in quiet reflection, or loudly shouting, proclaiming the name of the Lord. I look forward to seeing you all on Friday night for any of these options where we can praise the Lord together as a community in Christ. Thank you.
And that is this Friday here from 7:30. And just to be very clear, all are welcome, and we'll have some snacks and drinks afterwards, too. It's a good time. It's a Friday evening. We can hang around a little bit. Next Sunday, we are going to have a membership class. We had been saying that this would be on the 24th, a week later, but we've moved that date. So maybe the 24th didn't work for you and the 17th does. So bear that in mind. This is for those who have been here for a while and are discerning, is this my church? Am I a member of this body of Christ? Not just a visitor, but really, I'm a part of this church. If you are anywhere thinking about potentially discerning that, we would love to help you. Coming to class does not commit you to becoming a member, it just helps you on your path of discerning that. Again, that'll be next Sunday following the 11 a.m. service. We'll have some lunch provided. That makes it extra important that you register for that if you'd like to be there on Church Center. And we can also provide for, arrange for childcare if you need that, but also let us know that as well. Again, that's next Sunday. It's not too long from now for as Good Friday. We actually just sang about that dark day. And it's a day that is very solemn. It is an important day for us to gather and worship and remember that our Lord was crucified. Good Friday this year is on the 29th of March. That's not too far in the future. And we will meet here. I don't think we've actually determined this just, but I think it'll be 7. It's always been 7 in the past. So I think we'll be here 7 p.m. If it's slightly later than that, we'll let you know. But plan to be here on Good Friday, and I think it's a special service. It's somber but very meaningful, and we invite you, if you're in town, to plan to be here for that. Finally, I want to invite you to consider a way of serving that is simple but is very impactful, and that is being a greeter. All of you, there was a first time you came to church. There may be hundreds of times you've come to church, and you still experience this. But especially that first time, if there's someone there welcoming you at the sidewalk to say, you know, welcome to church. You know, we're glad you're here. Just to know that there's a human connection there. And many times since, you've probably felt that welcome, like as you enter in, that someone is welcoming you into our community. That's hugely impactful, especially when you're new, but I think for all time. And so any of us can be a greeter. You don't have to have lots of skills. Sometimes people are like, well, I don't have Bible knowledge, or I don't have this, that, or the other. You can greet. And that is hugely important. That's the ministry of hospitality. It's not just a simple role. It really is a mission of making people feel welcome, just as Christ has welcomed all of us. So if you would like to be a greeter, I would encourage you, you can do it. And please speak to me. You can also find information on Church Center. Be a part of this ministry of Jesus welcoming people. It makes a huge impact. I now invite you to stand as we continue to worship, to hear these words from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
moment now where we have the children leave and the youths for their ministry time. We want to bless you for this time and thank you to the whole ministry team that is leading these times and gatherings. We have a moment also where we're going to receive the offering as a part of our worship this morning.
Lord God Almighty, we thank you that first and foremost, we know you through Jesus who died and yet rose again. When we think about who God is, what is the truth about God, his identity, his relation to us, he is one who gives his life for us and takes his life up again. He is one who brings life out of death. We thank you that we know God this way, not as one, a God of death, but as a God of life. We thank you that as we've sung that in you, God, the story is not over. The end is not written until you yourself have written it. That what looks like the road that leads to death actually leads to life. That out of broken and terrible things, you can bring good and beautiful things. But Lord, we also confess that so often we feel like if we're following you, it looks like the road to death. Even as Jesus walked to the cross and to the disciples and to anyone looking, it looked like this story is headed for a bad ending. So too, we confess that as we follow you, we often question, is this the road that actually leads to life? Because it looks like it's leading to death, God. We struggle to make the sacrifices that you tell us not only are necessary, but actually bring us life. That our interest doesn't lie elsewhere, but it precisely lies in following you. Lord, we confess that often, even those of us with great faith, it might seem, flounder when it comes to following you all the way to the cross. Lord, give us the confidence, give us the faith, the trust to know that if we follow you wherever it goes, that you will bring new life. We pray for all those places in the world in which the story seems to be written already and the story is death, as good as buried in the grave. We pray for the situation in Gaza, which just seems intractable. It almost seems hopeless. It seems like this is the way it's always been, and this is the way it's always going to be. Lord, we pray for new life there. In Ukraine, we pray for a new story to be written, not the one that looks like it's ongoing, just war, more war, maybe a break, and then some more war. But God, we pray for peace and enduring peace. And even we pray for your kingdom to come there in all places on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for all the people and relationships and situations where it just seems hopeless, like nothing new or good can come of it. This is just the way it is. That's the way it's always going to be. But Lord, we trust and we pray that in you the story is not written, that you can bring about new life where it looks like it's only death. We thank you, too, that in the midst of our sufferings, even as Mary and Martha sent word that their brother had died, and you, even though declaring you are the resurrection, the life, you still wept. Jesus wept, and this is good news for us, that even in the midst of our sufferings, even in the midst of this story that we're in, which we believe leads to life, Lord, there is still suffering, and this is real, and it's not something that we should pretend like if we have faith, we just get over it, and we put on a happy face. But indeed, Jesus wept, even knowing that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. He wept because his friends were suffering. And Lord, give us the freedom to weep, even as we are people of hope and faith and the good news that you bring. Help us to live in this tension, this reality that the world is a broken place, and it's a place that you will redeem. May that be the truth in which we live and move and have our being. May it be true for our church, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture today is from John chapter 11, verses 17 to 27 and 39 to 44. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises, at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he's been there dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go."
Thanks, Jenny.
As we approach Holy Week, this story connects very well with that. As John kind of journeys on with us and we see Jesus at work and see the way he reveals himself as God's I Am. As we see that he is the one who has come to rescue us from death and to bring us life, to raise us up as well on the last day. You know, as I read the scriptures, I'm often amazed at how Jesus takes every opportunity with people to reveal who he is, where he is from, and what he has come to do. Again and again, he does this to so that those who listen to him might see and know who he is. And this is just one of many examples from the Gospel of John that Jesus is doing this. An encounter with Jesus, as we mentioned before, always leads with a decision or leaves us with a decision. Whenever we encounter Jesus, we always come to a point of having to decide, do I believe and follow, or do I disagree and move in my own way? Martha and Mary and Lazarus were friends and followers of Jesus. And when Lazarus became sick, they contacted Jesus. They got a hold of him through someone and said, you know, can you come? And they did this in hopes that if Jesus came before Lazarus died, that he could help him be healed. They had seen Jesus healed other people, and so they hoped that that would be the case with him. And the timeline shows us here that Jesus would not have arrived on time if he left immediately when he got the message. Lazarus died before that. But in spite of that, Jesus waits several days before he goes to Bethany, before he comes. And this is an intentional waiting. And it's hard for, I'm sure, the disciples, and it would be hard for us to understand when we have this difficult and terrible situation in which if Jesus was just here, it would all be different, that Jesus waits. But John tells us that Jesus waited. Sometimes he waits. The reason that he waits is given, and it's similar to what we've seen before. The man born blind, the disciples ask, why did this happen? Was it his own sin? Was it the sin of his parents? And he says, neither. He says, it's so that the glory of God, the greatness of God, can be shown through this man's life. And the same reason is given here, is that God is going to reveal his glory, his greatness, through this. Jesus, speaking to disciples, and this is where the story gets a little challenging. Oftentimes, Jesus speaks in ways that initially, whether it's the disciples or Martha, you don't quite get what he's saying. You kind of go, okay. But then later on, it turns out differently, and you realize Jesus is speaking, using words a little bit differently than we would use them. He says, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death, he tells the disciples. But as the story goes on, he dies. But as we read more of the story, he doesn't die, or he's raised, or who knows, right? What has happened? But he's raised, he's here, he's alive. So in a sense, Jesus is right, even as he speaks to the disciples, and yet it's different than what we would think of. And that's one of the things about following and being with Jesus, is things happen differently than what we expect. We have to grow out of our understanding, out of our expectations, out of our beliefs, which may be good, but are too small. Jesus doesn't fit in our understanding. He's beyond them. Two other things are worth mentioning in this story that Logan mentioned in his prayer. One is that Jesus had sorrow at the death of his friend. He wept. And this is real. This is not a show. This is real. He sees that his friend has died, someone that he cares about deeply, and it feels the grief and the mourning. Even though he knows that this is temporary, right? You and I don't know that. We don't feel that. But in this, he feels the loss, and he weeps in the face of death. He's also angry. He's angry at what death has done to humanity, that death is this unconquerable thing that happens again and again to people, and that destroys their life, that destroys the ones that God loves. Another thing that's kind of interesting in this passage that we might miss or not really quite understand is there's a reason Jesus waits. And one of the reasons he waits is not just for the glory of God, but the belief in this time was that the spirit of the person, the soul, would hang around for about 3 days and kind of would be there just in case, you know, there was an opportunity to enter back in and to be alive again. But after the third day, the spirit would leave. And so Jesus waits how long? Until the fourth day. When he raises Lazarus, there will be no question. Oh yeah, that was this kind of situation. There is no option apart from Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. that he was truly dead. Very few things get our attention like death, to be very honest. And death happens all around us, right? We read it in the news, we hear about it here, and yet somehow we find the way to just go on with our regular life and go on with our regular plan until it comes close. Until we cannot ignore it. And we feel it. And then we can't think straight. We can't find our way. We can't sleep. Because it's right there. And the devastating impact of death on us and on others is experienced. In this encounter in John 11, we have where Lazarus is raised from the dead, we have a power encounter of all power encounters. The power of Jesus versus the power of death. The unconquerable foe, death. And the one who can conquer everything and anything, Jesus. And we should see this throughout John in different places, but especially here as a power encounter. Who is more powerful, Jesus or death? Because at the end of this, right, Jesus is going to call Lazarus to come out of the grave, and we're going to see. There's no hiding here for Jesus, okay, in this. He either is who he says he is and has the power to do what he says he can do, or he will be shown in front of everyone that he's a failure, that he's a fraud, that it's not true. There are five parts of John 11, and we're only going to look at two of those. The first part is Jesus with the disciples. The second part we're looking at is Jesus with Martha. The third part would be Jesus with Mary, the encounter with Mary. The fourth part we are going to look at is the resurrection of Lazarus. And then the fifth part we won't look at is the controversy that followed and the plot to kill Jesus. Can you imagine at the end of this? At the end of this miraculous and amazing event, people get together and say, how can we kill him? How can we stop this? How can we stop the one who raises people from the dead from doing such things around us? People will get the wrong ideas, or people will get the right ideas. Every encounter with Jesus for them and for us is a test. Do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe in who he is and what he says? The way he has revealed himself. So the first thing that we encounter is a question for us. Do we believe in Jesus? And the second thing is that we see with Martha is will we allow our understanding of Jesus to grow? Martha believed in Jesus, right? She even says that in this. But does she fully understand Jesus? Clearly not. Do we think that we fully understand Jesus? The risen Lord? The one who came from heaven? I hope the answer you can say honestly is no, I don't fully understand. I understand some. I understand some things that are really important, but Jesus is bigger than our understanding. He's bigger than what we knew, and we too have to grow. We can't just go throughout our life and say, this is what I understand about Jesus, and there's no more to learn, because that's just not reality. There is so much more for us to know and learn about Jesus, just as there was for Martha. For example, Martha had faith in Jesus. She knows and has seen him in action. She says to him, if you'd only been here, Jesus, it would have been different. It would have been different. And this is not so much a rebuke to Jesus as regret. And yet she also says, but whatever you ask the Father, I know, I've seen, I've watched you pray, I've watched the God give you anything you ask. I know he would give you whatever you asked. I just wish, Jesus, that you had been here. And Jesus, when he responds to this regret that she has, uses a very common phrase that we might say something like, you know, I'm really sorry, you know, of the death of this person. He says he'll rise again. And that would just be a very common response. They believed and looked forward to the day when all who were faithful, God would raise from the dead. But that was a long ways off. And so she took Jesus, what he was saying as, you know what? I know this is hard, but he will be raised one day. You know, we might say it this way. I know it's hard, but you will see them again in heaven. So let's look forward to that good thing. But obviously Jesus is saying much, much more than that, as often is the case. But Mary doesn't get it. oftentimes like we don't get it. Mary took Jesus and his words as an expression of condolences rather than something that's about to happen. Jesus spoke, I think in this passage, maybe one of the most powerful and important phrases that we're going to hear in all of the Gospels. And I don't say that lightly, so I hope you take it in. This is probably one of the most important things that Jesus said, and probably one of the most powerful things that Jesus says, when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. There's three parts of that. I am, as we've talked about, in that I am, he is declaring, I am God. I am the one from the Old Testament revealed as Moses asked the question, I am God. And of course, that's a mind-blowing idea for them. And yet Jesus continues to do the things that only God can do. That he says, I am. But the two other things that I think are most important for us is that I am the resurrection and the life. I am resurrection and I am life. I'm not only just God, but I am the one who will raise the faithful from the dead. I'm the one who will defeat death, conquer it, so that it no longer has the power over you to take your life and hold you down forever. Death is not the end anymore, Jesus says, because I have laid waste to death. And although you may die and we may die, it's not permanent. It's not the end. It's not final. But he also says, I'm the life. So it's not just that the resurrection is coming, but he's the one who gives us life, who makes us alive to God, who brings life to us, that we were dead as the letters of Paul talk about Ephesians 2. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were dead to God. We were not alive. So when we died, it was all over. He says, no, I've given you life, the life that you have right now, the life breath that you and I all have. And he says, I will make you alive again with God in relationship with him. And then when I raise you again, you will have eternal life. You have eternal life now and in the future. I'm the resurrection and life. I'm everything to you. Everything you need, every foe you face, I am what you need. I give you life now. I made you alive with God now. And I will give you life in the future when you are raised. And that's why it's so powerful. It's all that we need. It's all that we need to hear. That Jesus has got us covered from the beginning to the end in every way, shape, and form. That he has destroyed death for us. Those who believe in Jesus, even if they physically die, their real life, their soul, their relationship with God doesn't end. It doesn't die. Their human spirit goes on. And he says to Martha, do you believe this? And of course, you know, these are words coming quick and fast. You know, and Martha, of course, says, yes, Jesus, I believe. But we have time to think about it. Do you believe this? Do you believe the life, the breath, every moment, every thought that you have is a gift from God? Not something that you create on your own? Do you believe that? Do you believe that it's only through Jesus Christ that you can have a restored relationship with God, that you can be alive to God and have life with God? And do you believe that in the future, the only reason you will go forward and have eternal life is because Jesus has given you that life? And that if you die, you won't stay there? That your life, all that you really are, will be raised on that last day to celebrate and enjoy Jesus? Martha believed. She believed more than many, many people. But she still had a lot of room to grow, didn't she? We can see that in the story. She was about to experience the astonishing power of Jesus. Power that would raise her brother from the dead, something that she never imagined she would see. She believed the resurrection in the future. She believed that last day will happen. God will somehow do it. And Jesus says, I am God, right here, right now. I will raise Lazarus because I'm the one who gives life and I'm the one who restores life. I'm everything he needs right here in front of you. Obviously, Martha and Mary didn't quite get it. So we join them as those who follow Jesus who don't quite get it all, who need to learn more. In the second part of this passage that is read, it's where we have the resurrection of Lazarus. I just want to highlight that in verse 18 that Jesus isn't angry at Martha or Mary or the mourners or even the critics. That's not where his anger is focused. It's not on those who said, you know, if he had been here, he could have kept Lazarus from dying. It's not towards that. His anger is directed at death. Death that robs the life that God gives. Death that destroys us as people. That Jesus came to save. He is angry at death. And Jesus reminds us, as he reminds them, that when we actively believe or trust in God, that he will do what he says he'll do, that we will experience the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? It's one of those big words that we can sing or say, and we kind of don't really always understand. But the glory of God is his perfection, his goodness, his love personified. It is the greatness of God that is experienced. When it talks about the glory of God, it's experiencing God. Not just knowing about God, not just writing about God, but it's experiencing the greatness of God. He says, if you believe in me, Martha and Mary and Celia and Andy, Candace and Emmeline and Susanna, and I could go on. If you believe in Jesus, then you will experience the greatness, the power, the beauty of God. What a great thing. So Jesus says, move the stone away. And Martha goes, but it's really going to smell. He says, Martha, you can't experience the glory without the risk. Isn't that what we want? Jesus raised, could you raise him? But if we could not open up until we know everything's okay. He says, you can't experience the glory without the risk. You've got to trust me. And so Martha, in a beautiful way, we assume relents. And then Jesus prayers, and it's clear from his prayer that in some way, shape, or form, he has already asked the Father and received the affirmation from the Father of raising Lazarus. And don't ask me how that works. I have no idea. I don't know how Jesus is God right there and talking to the Father there and asking and knows that the Father would do this. I just know that that's what the Bible tells us. That's a mystery that we can't understand, but it reminds us how important prayer is. Jesus says, I pray this so that you can hear it. So that you can believe. Do you remember the end of John? Why is the book of John written? So that people can believe. The whole book is written so that people can believe. Jesus' prayer is so that when Lazarus is raised from the dead, people can believe and know that Jesus is God, the I Am. That he is the resurrection, the one who will raise us on that last day. And the one who gives life now and in the future. That's who he is. And so he prays. He prays so that those can know he is sent from God and that he has the power of God. And then Jesus shouts to Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. It's the moment of truth, isn't it? Like I said before, it's the moment of truth. Jesus does this again and again. He puts himself out there. He says, I know some of you don't believe. And if Lazarus doesn't come out, you have good reason. But if Lazarus comes out, you have no excuse. You have no excuse, Jesus is saying. And he comes out. It says, and the dead man came out. What a phrase, right? The dead man came out. Bound, he comes out. Can you imagine what that was like? Just even for a moment. How often maybe you've thought about a loved one or a friend that you saw and you wished that they would just come alive again. And it happened in front of them. Undeniable. Lazarus was alive. Jesus brought him back to life. Imagine the amazement of that moment. Imagine the revealing of God's glory. Imagine the revealing of Jesus. They must have been amazed at Lazarus, and they must have then thought, who is this Jesus who even can raise the dead? And he's already told them, I am God. I am the one who will bring resurrection because I am God. And I am the one who has given you life, John 1. I'm the one that you live in. And I'm the one who will make that life go on forever and ever that has no end. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who gives life to everyone. We are alive today, thinking, breathing, feeling, planning, doubting, wondering, because Jesus has given us life. He is the life. Jesus is the one who has defeated our greatest foe, death. And that even if we die, death won't keep us down. But we will rise again. He is the resurrection of our life. Even though we've been the ones who have rebelled against God, who have earned death, Jesus says, I am the one who defeats death, and I will bring you back to life. I will raise you on that last day. And thirdly, Jesus is Lord and Savior. He is God's Messiah. He is eternal life for those who believe in him. Even if we die, or when we die, it's not the end. And our soul never dies. The real us, when you look into the eyes of someone else and you see the soul that is eternal and that goes on, that soul is alive to God. It is our connection to God. He is the one who is faithful, and he will raise us on the last day as our Messiah. If we believe these things and we base our lives on these things, that Jesus is the I am, then we will experience the glory of God. And isn't that what Jesus wants us to experience? He wants us to believe and follow him so that we can experience his presence and his glory in our life. So that we can further believe, and it expands more and more what we know about Jesus. When Jesus says to us, dead or alive, come out, we will be raised as well because of who Jesus is. He is God. He is our hope of resurrection. He is the promise of eternal life with God, and that we will get to share with each other. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, may these words of Jesus ring in our thoughts and our minds. May we not just quickly pass over them because they hold for us important truths that overcome the obstacles and the challenges that we face, the deaths that we experience, our own fears about the future. They are answered here. And you say to us, if you believe me, then you'll experience the greatness and the glory of God, and you will know that I am that great and glorious God. So, Lord, help us to believe. Help us in our unbelief, that we, like Martha and Mary and the others who were there, might grow in our belief in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We invite you to stand up and to sing with us, Because He Lives. Amen. I believe in the sun.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know what that means? It means you don't have to fret over the small stuff. And as someone once said, all the rest of it is small stuff. So as you go knowing who you go with. You go with the I am, God himself who has given his love to you. That Jesus is your resurrection. He is your life, your promise of eternal life. And the Spirit who is in your life is the guarantee that it's real and it won't change. And that resurrection is coming and that reunion as we celebrate God is coming. Go and live as those kinds of people. Amen. Thanks so much for being here today. Have a great week with the resurrected Christ. God bless you all.
It is finished, as is the word. There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. The King of Love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, and not the end we could have known. But the earth began to sing, and the veil was torn, but a sacrifice was made. As the heavens roar, all hail King Jesus, all hail the Lord of heaven and earth, all hail King Jesus.
For listening. For more information, please visit allnationschurch.com.